This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, here on this featured artist Friday. It's Cheap Trick, 2 hours to go. Pick a song, we'll play it. Send your request. Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, Todd Monken, Ravens offensive coordinator, met with the media yesterday. Talking about the offense doing some really good things. Look at them points in that yardage, right?
Yeah, we got guys that can win. I think they've done a great job of working, you know, since we've come back and even in the offseason. And I think we've streamlined things a little bit.
He's talking about his skill guys, what he's talking about, the receivers and stuff, being able to get open and create some separation, you know, and That's what they're doing. That's what they did last week. And I mean, I don't know if you saw the one thing, Bob. I don't know if it was Pro Football Focus or whatever, that Rashad Bateman has the best separation rate of any receiver in the league.
2 years in a row, apparently.
Yeah. So, and he that slant route he ran on that third down, that was a hell of a route, you know. So, yeah, I mean, Todd knows he's got weapons, and he said he likes his guys. I mean, that's why, you know, the people that thought they needed Davante Adams, and that was never happening.
Because
why?
At the time, think about it. The previous two games, Lamar threw 33 passes combined.
Yeah.
They had to air it out because it turned into that sort of game. But Davante Adams comes here already somewhat disgruntled. Maybe he'd like to win, and that could alleviate some concerns, but he's not getting 10 targets a day here.
No. Nope. And you know what? They've got a good room right now, Bob. I mean, I think they all buy in, and they're willing to block when need be, and they're willing to catch passes when need be. And I think it's a really good situation. It's a very confident group. I mean, when you got the number one offense in the league, you're feeling pretty good when you're walking out to practice every day.
And here's Todd Monken talking about a guy at tight end. It's not likely it's not Andrews, but how about this guy lately?
Oh, well, we've had a couple explosive plays from him, which has been, you know, huge. The one in Dallas got us going, and this one got us back, you know, really. I mean, let's be honest about the two plays. One got us, you know, down there, and we score on the very next play in Dallas, and this one here gets us down there, and two plays later, I think it was, we score. So I just think he's a guy that comes to work every day, and, you know, his role will expand as he continues to develop as a player, you know. And I was happy for him. You know, we didn't get the ideal look on his touchdown, but he did a great job of posting up, and Lamar found him.
Yeah, and the thing is, Kolar, you know, he's getting a lot more opportunity because he's on the field a lot more. Why? Because he's their so-called blocking tight end. So he and Ricard are usually on the field together at the same time when they put their bigs out there. And you can't just have them out there and never throw to them. So they threw to him. And I mean, the one down the sideline, they didn't even cover him down the field, you know, on the one. So, yeah, more power to. And he's always been able to catch. The blocking thing is the new thing to him.
And let's not get carried away, say, John Mackey by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, he's averaging almost 20 yards of reception. And you heard Todd Monken talk about the big play in Dallas and then against Cincinnati last week. So he seems comfortable catching the ball and is a guy that, as The Rock would say, Nolan, you're a big wrestling guy, knows his role.
Yes. Yes. And Bob, give the kid credit because he put on a bunch of weight to try to get bigger to be that blocking guy. Because he even jokes about it. He says, you know, my fat gut and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But he's about 270 pounds, and he's 6'7". So he and he can run straight line.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday. Ravens Commanders coming up 1 o'clock. M&T Baltimore 6.5-point favorites over the first place Washington club. Roger Rosengarten, he's a rookie. He's out of Minnesota, or Washington rather, as he got housed by Michigan in the championship game. But boy, he's coming along nicely, isn't he, Todd Monken?
Roger is an intelligent football player. He's tough, and he'll battle and strain, you know. So those things are always a good, you know, starting point, you know, a good starting block of any player. You know, when they've got those things, you know, gives you a chance. Like any player, they're not going to be perfect, but that's what you like about Roger. Football's important to him. He likes to play. He's frustrated when it isn't, you know, the way you want it to look, but that's what you want out of a player.
I mean, when I hear Todd, I mean, he's trying to find some nice things to say. He's smart and he's tough and he competes. You know, that's right. He just, big thing with him is he needs to get stronger. And I don't think that's happening until next year. But they just got to kind of fight through with him. And he just got to keep, you know, doing those things. He's playing smart. He plays much better in a run game than he does the pass game. And he's challenged in the pass game because of strength. But he can move his feet. So it is what it is right now. I mean, he's their best option for what they have right now.
Are you more confident that he gets better or more concerned that he gets worse as the season
goes? No, I think he'll get better. I think he'll get better, you know, and his technique and things will get better. But the thing that's always going to, the bull rush, you know, and the power, because he'll get turned and he'll get pushed, and that's not going to get, totally fixed until he's squatting and lifting heavy and doing those things. And it's kind of hard to do during the season.
Ravens are 5 games in. You've seen Patrick Mahomes. You've seen Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Hey, let's throw Gardner Minshew, who only plays well against the Ravens in Baltimore. But Zach Gore, Ravens defense coordinator, was asked, hey, are you relieved that you're done with the gauntlet, even though you got Jaden Daniels coming up?
Nah, there's no relief. It feels like every week get up here, we play in one of the top offenses, one of the top quarterbacks, and that's no different this week. But, you know, I think that we're a confident group still. That's what I'm saying inspired me. We know what we've done in real good ways, and we know what we've done that hasn't lived up to the standard. We just got to eliminate the things that are not up to our standard, because we know that we are one of the top defenses in the league. It's just time to put it together.
Well, the biggest problem they got right now is they got half of it figured out, the run game stuff, but the pass game, to me, Bob, if you would have said this offseason that the Ravens secondary is going to be last in the league against the pass, are you kidding me?
They had 3 starters got hurt.
Bob, got the two best safeties in the league. Marlon Humphrey, who's healthy. You got Brandon Stevens, who's coming off a really good year.
Yep.
You know, and you got Mallette back. You got you drafted Wiggins, and you got all these pieces. TJ Tampa and everybody. And then they're last. Something, it doesn't jive. It doesn't jive to have that kind of talent and having so many guys screw up and stuff makes no sense.
And you have Daniels talk about the gauntlet, air quotes. You have Daniels playing like a, you know, an all-pro, pro bowler, offensive rookie of the year. Then you got Baker Mayfield on the road next Monday. All right, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, whatever. Bo Nix, I mean, he's showing a pulse, and Cortland Sutton's becoming more part of that offense, and then Burrow again, and Herbert and Jalen Hurts down the road. So you're not C.J. Stroud. So you're not out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination.
I still think, Bob, the team that I'm nervous about is Cincinnati, man. If they can just figure their defense, because that offense is explosive as hell.
Speedy and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, hopefully our wallets are exploding with money because we have buy or sell. Talk about the sports subjects of the day. Steven Wino covers the Commanders for the Associated Press. Preview the game with him. And then we're going to get to Vinny's keys to victory. How do the Ravens pick up their fourth straight win and end Washington's four-game winning streak? We'll find out later.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo. The Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the hour.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this featured artist Friday. It's Cheap Trick. We got plenty of sports coming your way. Steven Wino covers the Commanders for the Associated Press. Got Vinny's keys to victory. Jeffrey Chedia from NFL.com joins us for NFL Lunch. We got our picks coming up later in the show. Many college epic performances, matchups coming your way. But right now, let's count the dough by itself.
Yeah, the Dow's up 291. I mean, we're at 42,745. The S&P's up 29. The NASDAQ's up 54. DraftKings up 79 cents. Under Armour's down a nickel.
Get started in the NFL here. Talking about the Saints.
Derek Carr is going to be out for at least the foreseeable future, that oblique injury. So for this Sunday, the Saints are going to turn to the rookie, Spencer Rattler, going to get his first career regular season start against the Buccaneers. It was between him and Jake Haener, but Dennis Allen, the coach there, said that they're not fully committed to either one as the true number two, calling the decision week to week, whichever quarterback gives them the best chance to win a given matchup. But during the preseason, Rattler actually looked pretty decent. 20 of 38, 202 yards, a touchdown, no picks. Certainly nothing flashy, but it's going to be facing a Tampa defense that's given up quite a bit of yardage so far this season. Buy or sell, Vinny, Rattler will have a nice showing in his NFL debut. We'll say at least 200 yards, no turnovers.
Sell it. I think he's going to have turnovers. And I think Todd Bowles will get after him. You know, so I think it's going to be a rough day for him.
Remember Rattler just a few years ago went into that season with Oklahoma, the Heisman favorite.
Yep.
Got benched for Caleb Williams, wound up transferring to South Carolina.
Now here they are, both starting.
Yeah, the Rattler.
A little baseball here, the Dodgers and Padres. That series has delivered on excitement so far. Only one game left to play, and it's for all the marbles. If San Diego's going to win, you would think Fernando Tatis Jr., he's going to be leading the way on offense. His postseason stats this year, they're off the charts. 11 hits, 4 homers in 6 games played, only 1 strikeout as well. He'll be going up against Yamamoto, who's on the mound for LA tonight. Buy or sell, Bob, Tatis keeps his playoff hit streak alive.
I'll buy it. Not going to predict victory for San Diego, but he'll keep that hot stick rolling there. And if you look at their left fielder, it's Profar, right fielder Tatis, third base Manny. They were all shortstops coming into the professional ranks, so athleticism is a key. Hugh Darvish on the hill for the San Diego Padres. I keep seeing Mookie Betts dancing around in my head for some reason, though, tonight.
Well, last year, the AFC North collectively put together a rarity, having every single team finish with a record above 500. Could that happen again this year? But this time, the NFC North instead of the AFC North. Through 5 weeks, every team is sitting with at least 3 wins, and it's not necessarily impressive as it stands now, but you remember prior to the season, a lot of people thought it was just the Lions and the Packers, and, well, the Vikings and Bears will have to wait and see, or they'll just be flat-out bad. But here we are, the Vikings, they're the top dog. The Bears, proven to be competent enough. Buy or sell, Vinny, the NFC North will have every team win at least 9 games.
I'll buy it. I mean, this is a big one for the Bears Sunday. I mean, to go to be 4-2, then to be able to get to 9, because they got to start playing each other too. That's the thing.
When the AFC North was that last year, right?
Exactly. Yeah. A big rarity. A little more college football here. Utah. Still trying to figure out what's going on with their quarterback, Cam Rising. Had that hand injury suffered against Baylor. That was over a month ago. He's been held out ever since. His availability still remains unclear moving forward, but he was expected to be a big deal for them this year. Their preseason top 15 team. He's the fifth-year senior, expected to lead the way. In his absence, they've turned to a freshman, Isaac Wilson. Started the last 3 games. They've gone 2-1. But his numbers, very pedestrian at best, completing 55% of his passes, 6 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Buy or sell, Bob, if Rising can't return, the Utes will fall out of the top 25 by the end of the year.
What's a Ute?
No idea.
They got Arizona State tonight. They're favored on the road, a game you could check out on ESPN if you're up around 10:30, and I will be, because, you know, it's Friday. It's party, man. Let's get that party rolling. Let's see. They'll fall out of the top 25 if Rising doesn't return. I'm selling it. I mean, they built up a nice little power structure. They'll figure out ways to win. And I'll double-check this when we go to the break. I believe Cam Rising was in the same high school class as Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. That's how long that dude has been around. I think he's like in his 6th year, actually.
Man,
Is this the last year of the COVID eligibility stuff? We finally past that?
Hunter Dickinson's still at Kansas, and I think he played it with Adrian Dantley at DeMatha, if I'm not mistaken.
He's reaching, what was that Kansas guy, Perry Ellis? He's reaching that territory.
Correct.
Looks like he's 35 years old. All right, lastly here, one more quarterback topic. The Raiders going to be turning to Aiden O'Connell this Sunday after benching Gardner Minshew. If you remember last year, O'Connell actually started 10 games for the Raiders, looked pretty good at times. His final four games with them helped them go 3-1 down the stretch, had a passer rating of over 98. That's all well and good, but he's got to face the Steelers this Sunday, and that's about as daunting of a task as it gets this year. Buy or sell, Vinny, O'Connell will be able to pick up where he left off as a starter at the end of last year.
I'm going to sell it. I think he's going to have a tough outing, you know, against the Steelers. I mean, they may win, but I think it's going to be low scoring and it's going to be a defensive game.
Cam Rising, by the way, 25 years old. His freshman year was at Texas, redshirt in 2018.
Damn.
Yeah, so he was with that class and transferred to Utah, and they won't let him leave.
Time to grow up. That's Van Wilder stuff right there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get a job, you bum.
Can you, like, if he dates a freshman, she's like 18.
Hey, you know? What's up, baby? I'm the star quarterback. My old man, you're 18, you're out the door. And he wasn't joking either. Vinny and Andy, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk about the Washington Commanders. They're in Baltimore. They're in first place. They've won four in a row. Steven Wino from the Associated Press. And then we got Vinny's keys to victory. Ravens trying to maintain their advantage on top of the AFC North. Will it be easy? Will it be hard? We don't know. That's why they play the games. In the 1 o'clock hour, Bob Andy, Vinny Serrato coming up Sunday, 1 o'clock, M&T Bank Stadium. Two first-place teams get it on. Ravens 3-2, winners of 3 in a row. Washington 4-1, winners of 4 in a row. Ravens 6.5-point favorites here to preview the game from a D.C. perspective, or Landover, if you will. From the Associated Press, he is Steven Wino. Steven, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on The Fan.
Anytime, guys. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Appreciate the time. And, you know, Washington coming in here for the first time in a while outside of preseason fun, of course. But with greater expectations and a new head coach, a stud quarterback, a great receiver. I know Robinson's a little bit banged up. We'll get to that in a second. But we hear the words culture change oftentimes where, you know, franchises that have been doomed to mediocrity or less than have all of a sudden turned it around. Over the last couple of years, Steven, what's the culture change been like down in D.C.?
It's been night and day, and it really started with Dan Snyder selling the team to the group led by Josh Harris, and including Magic Johnson and a bunch of other local folks. But it's been a total fresh start since the end of last season. Very rarely in the NFL do you get a chance as a front office to have a new GM and a new coach and a new coaching staff at the same time. So it really hasn't been. There's been no real connection to the previous regime when Ron Rivera was in charge and all of that. We've seen a roster turnover by more than 50%, which is even in a league with a bunch of turnover is a lot to see. And players seem to really like Dan Quinn, and that was obvious from spring workouts on. But Adam Peters came from history in New England and in San Francisco of working under John Lynch and kind of knowing how to build teams, and has completely revamped this roster for a coaching staff with Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt Jr., who seem to know what they're doing. This is the first real sort of optimism that feels like it's almost sustainable winning around this place for a long time.
Now, Steven, what about Brian Robinson Jr.? He hadn't practiced yet this week. What do you think?
Yeah, game time decision officially is what Dan Quinn said today. I'm tending to think he's going to be in uniform, even though he hasn't practiced, but on a snap count of sorts. He didn't play in the second half last week against Cleveland, but didn't have to. The Commanders have Austin Ekeler. They have Jeremy McNichols, who, even as a journeyman running back, has shown he can run the ball, can get 8 to 12 carries in a game, has a few touchdowns already. It could be a coin flip. I expect Brian Robinson to play, but I think that the Commanders know that if there's any sort of doubt there, they have other options in that position.
Now, what do you I mean, because when I look at the tape and stuff, and if I'm evaluating the Redskins, what I would, you know, the quarterback is dangerous, but you got McLaren, and then there's nobody else that really scares me. What do you say to that?
The thing is, and you're right, when you look at it on paper, there's nobody else on that offense who is a scary option as a receiver. But Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury have rotated through who's going to be the guy that day, whether it's Omidi Zaccheaus, whether it's Luke McCaffrey. Sometimes Zach Ertz has been that guy. Sometimes Austin Eckler has been that guy. And yes, if you're looking at what is a need for this team, it probably is a solid number two receiver. Noah Brown was that a few weeks ago. He missed last week's game with a groin injury. He's expected to play a guy that there's some history there with Dan Quinn from his days in Dallas and someone who's produced in the NFL. I think if you're looking at this from a what would the Commanders need if they were to make a move ahead of the trade deadline and try to contend sort of thing, a number two receiver would be that. But what's made the offense so effective is Jaden Daniels not really needing to worry about getting the ball to one guy. It was a problem with not getting it to Terry McLaurin in enough situations early in the season. But now that you have a Noah Brown there, you have a Luke McCaffrey, you have Zaccheaus around, and even Austin Eckler catching the ball out of the backfield, there's a litany of options there, even if none of them are A-plus options like Terry McLaurin.
What's your impression of the O-line? Because they don't seem – well, I mean, they rush for a lot of yards, but, I mean, they don't knock people off the ball.
No, they're not a standout offensive line, but that's probably been the biggest surprise for me this season is how well this line has held up after it was dreadful last year and Sam Howell got sacked 65 times, more than any other quarterback in football, that Charles Leno is gone. They brought in Brandon Coleman as at the left tackle. He's been rotating with Cornelius Lucas. They bring in Tyler Biotis as a center, Nick Allegretti at left guard. You keep Sam Cosmi at right guard. You keep Andrew Wiley at right tackle, and you kind of see where some of the mistakes were last year and where some of the holes were in this line. It was on the left side and in the middle, and this doesn't have to be an offensive line that has Trent Williams, who was in Washington a long time ago, as we know, and kind of these stud all-pro linemen. They're doing their job. And Jaden Daniels, as a quarterback, is good enough at scrambling out of trouble that even if he's getting sacks, a lot of these times are sacks that he's trying to run the ball when he doesn't have options, and he's getting tackled for maybe a yard or two loss. It's not an offensive line that's getting blown up very often.
Hey, Steven, does he ever scramble left? I mean, because I watched the film of the Cleveland game and stuff, and he only goes to his right.
He has not done a whole lot of scrambling to the left so far, and I think it's something that, much like we saw with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and other quarterbacks, where it's going to develop, I think, over time of his ability to do more than just that. And I'm curious to see how soon defenses start to almost shade to that side because Jaden scrambles right so often, that he doesn't have that sort of Mahomes-esque ability to kind of flip around in the backfield and go the other way very often. But they're not asking him to do that. And this is some of the criticism that some of the Bengals DBs had about Cliff Kingsbury's offense early in the year before Washington went in there and that terrific game on Monday night and kind of won surprisingly against the Bengals, is that Cliff Kingsbury has kind of simplified the offense very much for Jaden Daniels early on in this time, where they're not asking him to do all those sort of things, where if he's comfortable scrambling right all the time, he can do that. But also, I think there's a little bit of an emphasis there that they don't want him taking off and running too much and sort of settling back there and looking for more options to pass rather than run, because we saw that with RG3 more than a decade ago and how that got him into trouble.
What do you think Dan Quinn's going to do, you know, against the Ravens, because they can run it extremely well. They're the best in the league in running the ball, and then they can throw it too, and then you got to defend Lamar Jackson too. What do you think Quinn does? Because against Cleveland, they blitzed a lot, and I don't know that you can do that a ton to Lamar.
No, and I was up there for Ravens-Bills on Sunday night a few weeks ago, and certainly that was a recipe for what not to do against the Ravens and kind of how not to tackle and how not to handle that sort of thing. It's a pick-your-poison sort of situation every time with the Ravens, given what Lamar can do, given what Derrick Henry can do. And I think the Commanders' goal is going to be to try to contain Lamar from running as much as possible himself. And you're going to try to basically play a coverage game. But this is a defense that has shown a lot of flaws early in the season of if they can't get to the quarterback, if they can't create pressure, the coverage breaks down very quickly. And it was something that against Cleveland and a very banged-up offensive line, they were able to get to Deshaun Watson, sacked him seven times, and therefore the Browns offense couldn't do a whole lot. They're going to have to bring some sort of significant pressure against Lamar Jackson, because this Washington secondary is not good enough to win on coverage alone.
Stephen Wino covers the Washington Commanders for the Associated Press. Stephen, last thing for you. Moving to the other side with them going against the Ravens secondary, which rates poorly, even though they have all of these like super terrific guys. Outside of McLaurin, where are the weapons for Jaden Daniels if he's looking to take some shots down the field here?
Yeah, no, Noah Brown's going to be that guy. And De'Ami Brown is another one, too. Jaden Daniels last week asked Cliff Kingsbury to take a shot at a long play, at a deep pass down the right side of the field, and it was De'Ami Brown on a 41-yard touchdown catch. That's where the Commanders do have a few guys who are deep threats. When it comes to over the middle, it's Zach Ertz, who had a dreadful game last week with a handful of drops. Still a veteran player who is very respected, but the Commanders are going to be able to be competitive in this game, will need to find a way to get Zach Ertz, the tight ends, involved in this, given the Ravens' kind of issues in the secondary. And I'm interested from this side to see what Dean Pease does with that defense and if there's any sort of stuff he has seen from the outside that's going to allow them to cover some of these receivers better. Because it's very easy to say, and maybe harder to do, hey, we're going to stop Terry McLaurin and make an offense beat us with everybody else but Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. But, the Commanders do have a handful of guys. And with the almost receiver roulette they've been able to play this season, you don't know which one's going to be the focus of a game plan, either offensively for them or for a defense to try to slow them down.
Remember, Stephen, Dean Pease is just an advisor.
Just an advisor, correct. Yeah,
he's going to advise Zach Gore. Don't take this personally, but how bad are the Ravens going to be the Commanders on Sunday?
I think the Ravens win the game. I think they cover the spread. I think this might be a coming down to earth moment for Washington. Because the Commanders are playing a last place schedule, this is still a team that can legitimately have playoff aspirations given the teams coming up on the schedule. But there are some times in the season where for a team to sort of grow in the stage that the Commanders are in right now, sometimes you do need to get kicked in the teeth. I don't think it's going to be a complete blowout, but I do think it's a sizable win for the Ravens.
Stephen Wino, Associated Press, covers the Washington Commanders. Stephen, appreciate the time. Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right, Stephen Wino, everybody. We'll come back. Vinny's keys, the victory. How do the Ravens cover that 6.5 against Washington? Stick around. You'll find out next. NFL Lunch, Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com, NFL Network. Talk about Week 6 of the NFL season started last night with San Francisco beating Seattle. And then we got our picks coming up at 1:30. You want to join us, you can. Around 1:15 is your chance. 410-583-1057. Featured Artist Friday. We're not even into the Dream Police with Cheap Trick.
Vinny and Haney's keys to the game.
We're doing a hell of a job. We're resilient. We're moving on. And we're playing our ass off. It's an NFL football game right here.
1057 The Fan.
1057 The Fan here on this featured artist Friday. It's Cheap Trick, just tuning into the program. Ravens host the Commanders coming up at 1:00 Sunday, M&T Bank Stadium. Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show brought to you by Rice Mirtha Pesaurus. Live for Brew Brothers starting at 10:00. We got you covered there. But let's talk about the Ravens trying to get their fourth consecutive win, Keys.
All right, number one is don't let Daniels beat you. Keep him in the pocket. Don't let him roll to his right. And we heard Stephen from
Wino.
Yeah, he said that he hadn't seen him go left. So don't let him go. Why does he like to go to the right? Because he's a right-handed thrower, and it's a lot easier than going to your left and try to throw the football. Number two is tackle well. Why? Because the ball's going to come out quick. The ball's going to come out quick, and they're going to count on yak yards. So you better bring your tackling shoes, Marcus Williams. Bring those tackling shoes because you're going to have to tackle their guys and might be behind the line of scrimmage. But if they can't run the football, then they're going to try to run it by throwing it to Eckler, throwing it a quick screen, doing those types of things to get the ball up the field. So tackle well. Number three, secondary have their best game. Cover them up. Splatter them, as Harb says. Isn't that what he says when the quarterback's scrambling? Splatter them. And when they're scrambling, you got to stick to your guy at all costs. Don't be jumping somebody else. Stay on your guy and stick to him because that's going to be key. That's where they make their big plays. And it happened against Buffalo with Josh Allen, who's similar type. You know, and that's where they gave up their one big play, 52-yarder. Rush for over 5.0 per. They give up 5.1. If they rush for over 5 yards per carry, they're going to be in very good shape running the football, and they're going to be able to run it and run it and run it. And then the next one is Ravens have over 90 yak yards. And we heard, you know, Stephen was talking about that the secondary is not that good, you know, when they don't get pressure. If they're bringing four, they're not going to get a lot of pressure. And the Ravens receivers, Bateman's a good yak guy. Zay's a good yak guy. Justice Hill's a good yak guy. Likely's a good yak guy. So I expect them to get a bunch of yak yards. And last but not least, Lamar have over 250 yards passing. I think it's either going to be a big run game or a big pass game. If they don't blitz and they don't come after him and try to disrupt his rhythm throwing the ball, he'll pick them apart. But if they're going to blitz and try to do kind of like Cincinnati did and they want to stop the run and everything, I think he picks them apart. But if they can run it and Munkin's able to run it 35, 40 times and they're getting all those yards, he'll keep running the football.
Now, Brian Robinson Jr. has not practiced the last 2 days with a knee. And this is a guy that's averaging 4.5 yards per carry, 325 on the year. 5 touchdowns. Eckler's been dealing with, what, the heel, Achilles, whatever it is. I mean, he practiced fully. McNichols has 3 touchdowns on the ground and limited carries. He's made the most of them, averaging 7 yards per. If Robinson doesn't go, how do things change then for Washington offensively? Daniels is their second leading rusher.
Yeah, I think then, Bob, against Cleveland, they had some quarterback runs where they quarterback sweep runs, try to get outside. And I also think that jet sweeps, those types of things, and they'll throw like a little quick pass to Eckler and try and get those guys the ball in space. That's what I think they'll try to do. And as we heard, that they like to run a lot of no huddle. They like to change tempo. They like to change the pace of the game. They want to hurry you up, especially if you've got real good defensive linemen. You know, you got studs in there. If you hurry them up and make them, you know, you want to tire them out. But you got to make consistent first downs to get them tired out, because if you're going 3 and out, then you're not. So I just think that the big key in this one, Bob, is disrupt him early. Get his confidence, Daniels. Get his confidence down early on. You know, if he could throw an early pick and then be like a little confused, that's what I think that the Ravens have a good chance of doing. And like a Kyle Hamilton pick or something like that.
Now, just tuning into the show, if you look at the stats, Washington 15 sacks, but 7 of them were last week against Cleveland. Now, last week going into Cincinnati, they only had 5. As a team, and Hendrickson had 3 of those, but they did hit Lamar 7 times. So, yeah. And I guess there is something to maybe watch here in regards to them dialing up their pressure.
They came after him. And the guy who's their best rusher, Frankie Louvu, number 4, the inside linebacker. I'm pretty impressed with him, because they'll line him up over the center, or they'll line him up over Falele or whoever, and he's got a nice spin move and things. He's 6'3", 236. To me, he's a pretty good player, but I think you can take advantage of the Bobby Wagners of the world and stuff, because he doesn't run like he used to run. So there's some advantage. When you give up a quarterback rating of 115 as a defense, they're completing a lot of balls on you.
Yeah, and we talked yesterday about Austin Siebert, perfect from both the field goal and PATs, but he hasn't even tried a 50-plus yarder yet.
No, there must be. Well, they're one of the best teams on third down, Bob. I mean, they're completing 52% of their third down. So, you know, they're scoring points. They're scoring touchdowns is what they're doing. So I think this is a situation where you can run quick hitches and those types of things, Ravens receivers, and then go make some plays on them. I'm just really looking forward to this game for the Ravens. And if the defense secondary can show up at all, because I think they're going to do a good job. I totally believe they're going to do a good job keeping Jaden Daniels from getting outside the pocket. I really do. And Brandon Stevens, let me just tell you this. They're going to throw deep. He throws a nice deep ball, man. They're going to throw it deep to you. Just find the ball, please.
Dan Quinn said today, Brian Robinson,
that they're going to throw deep?
Right. Probably, because Brian Robinson's going to be a game-time decision.
Yeah. And if he's a game-time Well, like they said, he didn't play the last half of the last game, Bob. You know, I mean, would not shock me if he's doesn't play because, I mean, it is a – it's not a conference game. It's not a division game. You know, if it if they were playing the Cowboys or somebody that, you know, then maybe there's more pressure for him to play.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Will come back. Final hour of the show on this Featured Artist Friday. It's Cheap Trick, Jeffrey Chedia, NFL.com, NFL Network. Talk about Week 6 started last night with San Francisco getting right a little bit, beating Seattle. By the way, the Seahawks have lost three in a row after a 3-0 start. And then we got our picks coming up bottom of the hour. You want to get in. 115's probably your time at 410-583-1057. It's Vinny Haney, Nolan here on the
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.